This is the podcast of the German Historical Institute London, a research centre dedicated to supporting and connecting students and scholars from Britain and Germany. The podcast series presents current research in British, German and European history, as well as colonial and global history. For more information on the German Historical Institute London, future events, the GHIL Library, studentships and more podcast episodes, please visit our website at ghil.ac.uk.
Why did people in Imperial Germany become increasingly interested in their personal performance? Was there a link between global entanglements of Imperial Germany on the one hand and a rise in personal achievement culture on the other? GHIL Fellow for Colonial and Global History Mirjam Brosius and PR Officer Kim König talked to Nina Verhein, who teaches history at the University of Cologne, about the research behind her GHIL joint lecture on global connections and personal achievements, decentering the self in fin de siècle Germany.
Welcome to the podcast of the German Historical Institute. Thank you so much, Nina, for joining us for this interview. We would like to talk a little bit about your lecture that you gave in March and that is now available as a podcast. And we would like to ask you some questions to help our listeners understand some of the aspects that you raised in the lecture. But before we start, we would like to ask you, what is the lecture about? So if you could just give us a very brief summary of the topic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for inviting me again in order to talk about my project. So the lecture deals with the German Empire, a very well studied, but I think also still very fascinating period of German history. And it links two different topics. The first topic is performance / achievement / Leistung. I say / because being a German historian doing research about German history, I usually use the German term Leistung, and it's kind of difficult to translate into English. So it's very often translated as performance, but that is kind of misleading. It's also achievement. It's actually also much more. It can also be translated as demand, duty, many other things. So I think that should be mentioned ahead. I think we should take seriously how people kind of, what kind of terms people used in order to describe their very own world. That's why I'm sensitive. And that's why I deal with these semantic differences. But it's not actually what I'm mainly interested in. So I'm dealing with performance in terms of how people developed an idea of their very personal performance, their very personal achievement in everyday life. And why were they so interested in how much they performed or achieved, how good they were compared to other people? So that is actually the first topic I'm dealing with. How did people develop an idea of their very own performance, achievement, / Leistung, even though we know, and they knew back then too, that no one actually achieved something on their very own. Even an athlete who, for example, took part in the modern Olympic Games around 1900 got some help. He had certain shoes, he had a certain diet, he had perhaps already a personal trainer who helped him to get ready for the competition. So people always got some help, but in the very end, a lot of practices around 1900 led people think that it was something like a personal achievement existed, like a personal performance. So that is the first topic. And the other topic is global connections. Since the late 1990s, historians have shown how strongly globally connected the world was around 1900 already. So global connections are not something very new. Of course, in the digital age, they have reached a new peak and a new quality. But already around 1900, due to certain techniques in terms of transportation, communication, and so on, the world was very connected. Of course, that does not mean that every part in the world was equally well connected, but Germany, Imperial Germany, was certainly a place for which global connections were key. And not only in the areas where it's very transparent, like if you look at a trade, for example, but also in areas where it's not so transparent. So I'm asking in the talk what the connection was between global connections, entanglements around 1900 in Germany on the one hand, and the conception, the idea of personal performance, on the other hand, was there a connection? And how can we describe and understand the link.
Talking about this link, that sounds really interesting. I'm wondering, how did you develop the two research topics together? I know you've been dealing with personal achievements for some time, and I was wondering how you made the connection and what led you to be interested in that connection.
When I started the project many, many years ago, I was not actually so much interested in global connections. I started out on the local level. At the beginning, I found some very interesting sources, a diary, for example, in which a woman worried about her achievements and if they were sufficient or not. I also found some notes written by a teacher who kind of worried how he could grade the students in a just way. And in the beginning, I very much analyzed these sources in a local frame. And then I realized that the national frame was actually very important too. For example, talking about school, even though the school system was not the same in all places of Germany, there were many differences between, let's say, Bavaria and Prussia. But there were already certain national standardizations and regulations. So I realized during the process of my research that I had to take the national frame into account. And after that, I started to become interested in the global frame, let's say, too. Something that was in a certain way very much on my mind already in the beginning, because as I said before, since the 1990s, we have all this research that shows us how globally connected Imperial Germany was. But at the beginning, that was not my key question, because my impression was that there was a lot of research out there already on this topic, and I was not so sure if I could really find this dimension in my sources. But during my research, I then kind of came back to the global entanglements too and had a closer look at it. And I was then fascinated to see that it actually was or is important, I think, to my topic too, even though in the sources that I use, global connections are not that often, cannot be found that directly. It's more like in a very indirect dimension. But I do think by now that it is very helpful to kind of look at global connections too. I would like to add one thing, and that is that when I say global, of course, I do not mean the world or the globe as such. What I mean is trans-world regional. So what I mean is that connections did not only go across national borders, let's say from Germany to France, but they actually went across world regions. So the European world, a place full of differences, of course, was connected to other world regions, let it be Africa, Asia, South America, North America, of course, too. So that's what I mean with global. I mean trans-world regional.
Thank you. I would love to follow up on that with two methodological questions, if that's okay, because my own background is colonial and global history. So I was very interested in your lecture to hear you reflect on how new imperial history that has been developing in Britain in the past decades, as well as global history, are starting to influence German history. And we happen to have a new Instagram Live series called Unfurling German History as well. So I'm sort of advertising it to our listeners here as well. And in our first interview with Tiffany Floral, the question came up as well, how German history is becoming more global. And so I would love to hear your reflections on that, on how German history is kind of globalizing right now and how new imperial history could play a part in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question. It's not so easy to answer because German history is a very vast field and there are very many different areas within German history. And my impression is that what we should avoid is that we have, on the one hand, the global historians who kind of deal with global connections. And then on the other hand, we have the normal German history people who deal with German history. And only from time to time, they kind of look at this other topic, global connections. I think what we should try to reach is a perception on German history that integrates from the start global connections. So that realizes that even if you look at topics that are not connected to global connections, at first glance, global connections might have something to do with it and are important to integrate into the frame as a background information, maybe. Because as I said before, the German Empire was highly globalized already. And that means that even everyday life, normal everyday life, and even in areas in which you don't see it, global connections were key in the background. For example, let's talk about the diet of a sportsman. Many sportsmen at that time thought that sugar would help them to raise their achievements. And sugar, of course, was a product that came from the colonies. Germany around 1900 was in parts a very wealthy nation already, only in parts. But on the one hand, or first, it's important to know that even it was only a small elite that was so wealthy due to the fact that it was a nation state. To a certain extent, even people who were much poorer profited from the wealth of the rich people. For example, there were already scholarships for very talented students that rich people paid for. And that wealth, of course, had something to do with colonial history, with the global market that helped the northern states to become very wealthy. In a certain way, of course, this is a little bit blunt, perhaps, but in a certain way on the back of many people in the colonies. So in an indirect way, I think global connections shaped everyday life in Germany. And that's why I, as a historian of everyday life, think we should take them into account. And not only in research projects that deal directly with global connections as a topic. So my idea is that we should take global connections as a perspective into account whenever we deal with German history in the modern period.
Thank you. So just directly following up from that, I would like to ask you what we and our listeners can take away from your lecture for our globally connected society today.
That's very difficult because, first of all, I would like to stress that I think studying Imperial Germany is a topic that has an intrinsic value. I think it is valuable as such to understand why people around 1900 worried about their achievements and what that had to do with global connections. And I'm not so sure to what extent that can help us in our today's world. But since you've asked me, I would like to come up with possible answers. One answer has something to do with global connections. It's yet another example for the fact that global connections are nothing new. They have a long history, and around 1900, they shaped everyday life already a lot. The second point has something to do with the idea of achievements. It also shows us that worrying about one's own achievements is nothing new. There's a long history to it. That history probably goes back far beyond the 19th century, but in any case, around 1900, my period, these worries were extremely present in everyday life too. So nothing new about that either, in a certain way. Although the world was very different in many other aspects. But as such, worrying about one's own achievement is nothing that has come up only in the late 20th century.
Okay, thank you very much, Nina, for the interview. It was really a pleasure talking to you and learning more about your research. And I hope our listeners will enjoy both this interview and the lecture as much as we did. And of course, we hope to see you in London in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much for the interview again, and have a nice day.
Thank you for listening to the German Historical Institute London podcast. Follow us on social media and check our website to keep up to date with new episodes.